As he climbed the short roof access ladder of the little ice cream shop, Hunter had to remind himself for what felt like the 100th time to slow down and savor the moment. He lessened his pace, forced himself to stop taking the rungs two at a time, and took a deep breath, letting it out carefully. This would be only his second time. The first had gone by far too fast for his liking, both because the fire had gone out too quickly, and because he had become so caught up in the moment that it had all ended well before he was ready for the event to be finished. There were whole periods of that first release that he simply failed to recall later due to his initial excitement at the spectacle of it all. In his mad rush to see everything at once, he had missed much and felt hollow in the aftermath. He promised himself that he would not make the same mistake again. He gained the access hatch, wrenched the lever over to let himself through, and entered into a topside world which he suspected few normal people had ever seen in the before time. He approached the side of the building, looking down onto Center Street, where the facade wall only came up to his waist, and looked out across what he could see of Jackson's town center. On the opposite side of the street, a two-level blue and white building stood, nearly unspoiled, except that the windows had been smashed, and some of the banisters from the wraparound porch railing had clearly been ripped out, perhaps for firewood. Hunter couldn't imagine why someone would go to such trouble for firewood when a large portion of the surrounding area was carpeted in trees. But then, people rarely ever made sense to him. He looked at the sign on the front corner of the building which said Dally's Jewelry Design, but also said Gone to Salt Lake in black spray paint, and wondered about Dally. He wondered who Dally had been, and if Dally still was. He adjusted his view to the right, taking in the small park in the center of the town square. Beyond the large arch of deer antlers at the corner, he could see a grid of temporary easy-ups and a few tents, some of which still looked usable, spread randomly in the grass among the stumps of felled trees. Most looked weather-beaten. Hunter imagined they must have been standing out there in the elements for close to a year by that point. Some of them had left their positions in the park to wander sadly across the streets, no doubt articulated by wind. They looked forlorn, those little baby sunshades, cut off from their mamas and papas out in the bad lands of the open street. He pictured a mayor and other official-looking people, perhaps a treasurer, standing out there with police officers and bullhorns, trying to convince a crowd of townsfolk that they actually knew what was happening, that they knew what would happen next. Hunter scoffed to himself. As he looked the area over, the first signs of smoke began to rise from the buildings across the way, surprising an audible exhalation from him. He steadied himself in the cold November air, licked his finger, and held it up to again confirm the direction of the wind, which was low but present. It continued to hold a southerly direction, blowing away from his position, which was excellent. He knew he would be in no danger at any point, but it made him happy to know that he could stay for as long as he wanted. The air was crisp, and there were still patches of slowly melting snow along the ground from the most recent fall, which had been light, but the sun was still high. It was unseasonably warm for this time of year, and Hunter removed his jacket to compensate. When the flames became visible, he gasped, and any self-admonishments to slow down and savor the moment were quickly forgotten. He leaned out into the open, trying to feel their heat, but failing, and anticipated. He wondered how long and how far it would burn, telling himself not to hope, that the fire would be what it needed to be. An intense glow settled all about him, a pervasive sense of good fortune and well-being. Euphoria. He considered the probabilities involved in his arriving to that point, surviving the riots, the plague, the roving bands of survivors, and the final breakdown. All of the unlikely and unfathomable circumstances that allowed him to come to that point, the last survivor in an empty city.